Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And I like to start the show with a devotion. And today our text is from 2 Samuel 14:26. And the title of the reading is Absalom, Absalom. When he cut the hair of his head, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels by the king's weight. Of course, those of you who grow long hair, you know you need at least 8 ounces in order to give it to Locks of Love. Anyway, it was said of David's handsome son, Absalom, that he had a truly luxurious head of hair. In those days, men grew their hair long, perfumed it with fragrant oils, and even powdered it in gold dust. Absalom had his hair cut once a year when he could no longer bear the weight of it, a whopping 6 pounds by most accounts. They say Esau was a hairy man, but put the two of them toe to toe and Absalom would win the hair weight contest hands down. Absalom's father, David, was a man after God's own heart, but Absalom was arrogant, proud, and self-willed and sought to seduce the hearts of Israel by false pretense in order to take his father's throne. In the battle that followed, Absalom found himself pursued by David's soldiers, and he escaped into the forest on a mule. However, as the mule passed under the thick boughs of a giant terebinth tree, Absalom's hair caught on the boughs, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth. There, the soldiers struck him down, and he died. Faith check. Is this the fate of all those who forsake God? Are they left helpless, caught between heaven? Well, they will never know until the end of time. And our quote for the day is by Dwight L. Moody, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. Well, I'd like to take this time to say a little prayer. We have so many prayer requests. So let's bow our heads and hold them up to God. Lord, I hold up to you a family who is really suffering financially. Just be with them and help them to gain the necessary resources to provide for their children. I pray for a young man who's just registered into the military. Please be with him as he goes through boot camp and just sustain him. And I pray for this show, Lord, that you will provide the resources that we need to continue talking about you and talking about so many important things to families that are really trying to do the best by their children. Thank you, Lord. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Well, our guest in the later half of the show is going to be Sydney Tooley. In the first show I ever did with Sydney, we titled it Sweet 16 and Never Been Kissed. And then we did this show when she was a little bit older, in her 20s, and I thought it'd be cool to air it now. And then I'm planning to interview her. I'm going to track her down. She's probably 27 by now, and see where she's at. I just love the idea of following these emerging adults and hearing their experiences. Ta-da! It's Arts and Crafts, and today I'm encouraging you to go to my Pinterest site. It's under MR Gamblin 2, and I've put up their film projects. And there's some easy projects that kids can do. And so many of the guests that I have on the show actually do filming. the young people do it. The homeschoolers have time to really be creative. So go to that site, look at that, and see if it's anything that you could do. Film projects for your children. So let's talk about a class on filmmaking for homeschoolers. There's quite a few. They can be electives, and they are, the one I'm looking at is at schoolhouseteachers.com, homeschool filmmaking curriculum. So you can go to schoolhouseteachers.com and you can see the course there. It's rated for grades 7 through 12. You get a certificate at the end of it. And it has a lot of information. You can go to lessons. You can view a lesson plan. It might even give you an idea as to what you could do with your own homeschooling young people. So this is kind of off the track of your traditional reading, writing, and arithmetic. But nowadays, education needs to be thinking outside of the box. You need to provide some exciting, real-life education, and I can't think of anything better than having your students take some filmmaking classes. So go to schoolhouseteachers.com and look up their homeschool filmmaking class. It lasts about 29 weeks. You get a certificate at the end of it, and I think I'd like to go take it myself. Questions homeschooling families ask. Well, today we have a question from Jenna. She says, at what age did your children learn to tie their shoes? Well, I am here to tell you that I still have third and fourth graders that don't know how to tie their shoes. I also got some responses, some from some friends, and Irma says that her son has learned over and over again. He's 13 now. And he probably still doesn't remember how to tie his shoes. And Ileana says her son is 10 and he can't tie his shoes. And Jessica says her children are 8 and 9 years old and they can't tie their shoes. Well, I'm here to tell you that in the old days, when you had to tie your shoes, you had to learn to tie your shoes. But now you can get those fancy thing called hickeys that you can just hook in the where your shoestring is supposed to go, and your shoe will just be like elastic there. You can put it on, or you can get Velcro shoes. You get all kinds of different ways to connect your shoes. So why should we have to learn to tie our shoes? Should we have to learn to tie our shoes? I think that could be a whole homeschool companion show all by itself. Should we learn to tie our shoes? Why is it so important to learn to tie our shoes? Well, I don't really have an answer right now, so that's just the question without any answer. And then I have another question here. I'm going to sneak in at the last minute here, and the question is, my neighbor came out and just asked my kids why they weren't in school, and my son responded to her and said, "We are homeschooled. Why aren't you at work?" Well, hopefully she had a good answer for that. And then I have one more here. What are some of the things you do or can't do that make you say, how am I an adult? For example, I can't cut garlic or onions without crying. Or I can't bear the thoughts of leaving my grandkids and going and working in a better job, or I just can't clean up after the dog, or I just can't change a baby's diaper, or I just can't be around people who have loud eating noises. There you have it again. You have a question and you don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. All I know is I hope you come back for the second half of the show when we talk to Sydney Tooley about the topic of growing up. When I grow up, we'll be right back.
Sheridan. I like to give tips and advice off of information. Most of us want to get good grades, so I researched on tips on how to increase your knowledge when you study to get better grades. Here are the two tips. 1. Listening to Mozart when you study is a good way to get better grades. It is scientifically proven when listening to Mozart, it increases your knowledge. 2. A pastor once told me that it's good to have a devotional with God before you study for a test, or anything. God will help give you the wisdom and knowledge when you simply just spend a little time with Him, and that is a wonderful way to study.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Sydney Tooley. She's a young woman of just 25 years, and she was homeschooled for her 7th and 8th grades and then transitioned into a private Christian academy. At an early age, she became fascinated with films. She earned an AA in theater. She earned a bachelor's in film production with an emphasis in directing. And she is currently working on her master's in film production and direction at Lipscomb University. Now, if you want to see who I'm talking to, you're welcome to Google SYDTLY. It stands for, and it's the number 2. So it's SYD, the number 2LY. And it stands for Sid Tooley. That's pretty cool. Take off on her name. Or you can go to vimeo.com/SYD2LY. I mean, you can see all her films there. Welcome to the show. So, Sydney, tell me, what were your earliest memories of acting and filming? When did you start doing it as a kid?
I think I started with my aunt's big VHS recorder, and I decided we were going to make a movie, and all of my siblings were forced into it. And I still have the movie and you can watch it, but it was this princess gets captured by the evil guy, like typical, like cute little princess story. And my sister in her red clogs with her princess dress, it was fabulous. And the video, because I didn't know how to edit with it at the time, like you can see like our bloopers all the way through where I tried to back up and film. And I have a boombox with me, so I'm playing canned music from a boombox on one shoulder and recording on the other shoulder.
It's too bad someone didn't have a video of you videoing.
I know. It would have been fabulous.
So you still have that video?
Yeah, it's somewhere. I need to find it and get it. I don't know if I want to release it, but
it would be great, though.
It's cute, but it was my first little film. Before that, I did, live plays and stuff, but it was my first film was on that big VHS.
And that's when the bug kind of caught you, or at that point you had no idea what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I kind of knew. I mean, looking back now, I can see I was always the director. It's very obvious why I'm in this career to me now, but I didn't really know that I wanted to do that because I didn't know you could do that until high school, and I had watched Lord of the Rings, and Lord of the Rings was my big kind of, this is what I want to do on that scale. It's epic. And I would watch all the features behind the scenes and hours. So we'd watch the whole movie and then I'd watch it again with the commentary and then I'd watch it again with the other commentary. Like, just loved that a lot. And so I went to high school and we had to do a career project. And I was being stupid. And I said, I'm going to do film directing, And my teacher goes, you can actually do that, right? And I was like, really? You can? Okay. So I did my whole project on that.
And what did that project consist of?
It was just looking up personalities, how does your personality fit with the directing style? And mine does not, but I have made it, so it's good. And then from there, And, you know, you do that project and you're like, oh, yeah, that's great. And then you get to college and you have to think, okay, what is realistic? So I went into web design first because it's easier, it's cheaper. And then I accidentally took a theater directing class that I was not supposed to get into, which my teacher later said, how'd you get into this class? You don't have any of the prereqs. So I go, I don't know. You put me in here. So divine providence, and that's how I got that degree, totally by accident, because I was just like, hey, that'll be cool, I'm gonna take that class. And 2 years later I had a degree and then was going on to film from there.
So when you were at getting your first degree, your associate's in theater, it sounds like it kind of just happened accidentally. As you got into it, were you at a faith-based college or a public college?
For theater, I was at a public college. Faith-based colleges typically do drama as opposed to theater. The Lipscomb's theater program actually is fantastic, and it's better, probably. It's really good. And but the one I went to was a community college because, you know, saving money. And mm-hmm. It was the first time I'd gone out of the church setting. And it was really cool. Like, I loved.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a little bit. How did you, you know, going from a very sheltered environment and then going into a more artsy-oriented, you know, where you're working with that artistic mind that is a little on the edge anyway, how did you keep from compromising your own faith beliefs?
Ooh. So I came from a Christian high school, and I'd never really found my place in that particular community, and we changed churches a lot as a kid, so like never had that real tight church family and never really had that, you know, like, oh, my church friends, because I just didn't fit in with them, I don't know. And so going into the community college, and I started in theater, and like I just felt like I belonged there finally, like everybody liked me and I got along with them and I loved them and they loved what I was doing. And so it was the first time in my life that I was like, man, I really belong in this setting. But with theater, they typically do their shows on like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the Saturdays were Saturday night shows, but they had a Friday night show. And because we're Adventists, so Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown, I was like, I can't do it. And so somebody told me, oh, you can't make it through without breaking that. And I was like, watch me. So I went to the head of the department and I said, man, I really want this degree. And fortunately, like, I was good in this field, and at the time I'd already made a mark. Like, the directors liked working with me, and I liked them, and tech crew liked me, so we were all kind of working well at the time, and they were like, okay, well, we'll help you do that. So I was able to do a lot of assistant directing and stage managing, and I actually acted in one stage show, but they helped me to be able to not have to do the Friday night shows, and that was really nice of them. And so I didn't actually break any of my Sabbaths the whole 2 years.
What about the, you know, colleges are notorious for the drinking parties and things like that. How did you navigate that?
I'm not a big partier because I'm an introvert. I don't like going out typically. But, you know, like your first year coming out of, you have your little rebellious stage, I guess. I didn't really have a major one, because I was always a designated driver. So how I coped with it was I didn't judge anybody for what they did. I would go to the parties and I would make sure nobody died and then I would leave. And I don't drink. So, and it was fun. They were fun. They were fun. And when they got too rowdy, I would leave because I'm not about that life. But yeah, so it was what helped though was I didn't judge them. They didn't judge me. So we all got along. And in that way, I was actually able to be more of a witness, I guess, because they would ask me, like, why don't you do these things? Mm-hmm. Which would open conversations. And not because I was like, oh, look, I'm a Christian. But They could see it from the way that I interacted with them. And I did go to their parties. And I did hang out with them. And most of my friends do drink and party. And that's fine. They do what they do. I will make sure they don't die.
Do you think that kind of personality that's drawn towards film and dance and theater, do you think they're more non-judgmental or more open?
Yeah. Artists are all interesting. And I can say that because I am one. And they're very open. They're a very liberal set of people. They are very black and white as well. And they are what they are. You know exactly what they are. They're not sneaking around doing whatever. They're like, we're going to go drink now. Okay. And that was cool. I like that they're so open. They're just...
Yeah.
They're just straight up like, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I am. If you don't like it, then go away. Like, but they're very accepting of everybody. And unless you have like a diva or something, they're pretty laid back and we all just kind of get along. You do what you do, I do what I do. It doesn't matter.
Now, your family, you've kind of alluded to the fact that they were pretty conservative Christians. How did they react when they found out that you were going in this direction for your career?
My immediate family, luckily, was very supportive moving forward. Both my parents love what I do and they're very, very, very supportive of what I do. And I was able to go forward, not just with the AA degree, but with the BS degree and now with my master's. And they still have a lot of faith in me to be able to make it in this field. And it's very difficult to make it in this field. So having their support was good. I didn't meet much opposition from any of my family members. I actually met more opposition from different churches or different church people that I'd talk to, because they'd be like, you're doing theater? Oh, okay, sorry. Like, so that was rough, because, you know, you'd be like, yeah, I'm studying my film degree, I'm getting theater, whatever, and film is more acceptable because, you know, in their minds you can do documentary, right, which is the big question. They're always like, are you doing documentary? I'm like, no.
Well, and there are a lot of opportunities now, maybe not so much, but I don't know one single big nonprofit organization that isn't using film to tell their story. I mean that you have to know it. And so somebody has to be able to help you. If you are running a nonprofit and you want your story told through film, you need to find people who are willing and have the ability. So I can see how the field is opened huge. What about your grandparents? Now they're in another generation. What was the reaction there?
I think on my dad's side, again, very supportive. My grandfather was one of those very conservative people who was like, oh, you are wearing nail polish. Oh, you're going somewhere. Like, oh. But he would even like be like, oh, this would be such a great movie. And he'd pull me in and we'd talk about for hours. And he actually probably is where I get most of my filmmaking from, which I learned way later. But I mean, he ran around with an 8mm camera for a long time. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, all his movies are gone and are not where I can see them. But I think I get a lot of my creativity from him and a lot of the filmmaking instinct from him, because he definitely had it. I never, unfortunately, couldn't see what he did. Mm-hmm. It'd be really interesting to compare the styles. But he was really supportive because he had wanted to do it, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and he wanted to do it. And my uncle, too, is doing composing for films. And I think that's what he's always wanted to do as well. And so it's interesting what's coming out now that I have pursued. And at the time, you know, that generation was like, oh, you can't do it. Film is not going anywhere. Like, you know, it wasn't acceptable to be an artist. Now, you can do whatever you want to.
Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.